Welcome back to Pomp and Joe. Because of Pomp's presence, ratings records are being set every day, I think, Bob, or maybe not. I don't know.
No,
I just said that.
It's specifically because of you, Joe.
No, it's because of you, and you know it.
No, it's not. It's because of you. I just know the bonus money goes in Joe Starkey's pocket. I know this, Austin. Do you get any of that bonus money?
No bonus money
goes
to me.
Yes, I have given you some bonus money because you have helped set up all the endorsements. How dare you tell Bob I haven't handed you cash?
No, I did not say that. Bob, I think, was referring to does any of it go directly to me? Joe has been very generous and has done that in the past. Yes.
Yes, I have, Bob.
Okay. Well, he hasn't shared that generosity in my direction. I know that.
Listen, we're going to continue our quarter century series. This century is 1/4 finished, basically, Bob, which seems
that?
Amazing to me. Like
it
like
is.
when I think about it, PNC Park opened in this quarter century. So did Heinz Field, Acrisure Stadium, whatever you'd like to call it, the Pete, PPG Paints Arena. All of our new stadiums are not new anymore, but they all opened in a quarter century is a long time.
And you don't think you're going through it when you're going through it.
Right.
Then when you look back, you realize 25 years has gone by. My goodness. Crazy.
So we've done our all Pirates, all Penguins, and all Steeler teams. We have so many categories to go, Bob. Today's category, the top five most exhilarating and most heartbreaking games in Pittsburgh sports since the year 2000. And I thought we could each go around and just say what our, you know, not necessarily in order here, but what the first one is in the first category. And let's see how many we get the same and how many different. Bob, give me the first one that springs to mind. And callers can call in if you wouldn't mind. Thank you for that music, Limits. I love the Limits.
You're quite welcome.
And it's well chosen. 412-928-9370. Most exhilarating victories in Pittsburgh sports since the year 2000. Give me one, Bob.
Okay, one would be Super Bowl 43 in Tampa, Raymond James Stadium. And the way that ended, the way that drive went, and after it failed in one direction of the end zone from Ben Roethlisberger to Santonio Holmes, it goes in the other direction in a very small window. Somehow he makes that catch and wins a championship. That, to me, and being there to watch it in person was stunning, that James Harrison play in it. But that game was probably the most exhilarating one I've ever seen.
That is in my top five as well. I'm sure it's in yours, Limits, yes?
It's also number one for me, Bob. Super Bowl 43 is one of my first Steeler memories, truly. And I can remember calling my dad as he was walking out of the stadium. He was at the game at Super Bowl 43, sharing the moment there. Pretty cool.
I was not at the game because I was on what was basically paternity leave, except that I wasn't getting paid for it. But it was the best 3 months of my life with my daughter.
Sure.
So I was watching it with her in my lap, Bob, and what a game it was. I'll add to that an obvious one, the wild card game of 2013, maybe the most exhilarating sporting event I have ever attended in my life. The only thing I can compare it to, and it was very similar in terms of being a mixture of Mardi Gras and an exorcism, was Bills 51, Raiders 3 in the AFC Championship in, I think, 1990? Because it had been a long, suffering fan base, losing, more losing, stuff off the field, just ridiculous things for decades. And then all of a sudden, oh my God, we're going to the Super Bowl here in Buffalo? It's 51-3 for the Bills? That's what it felt like for Pirates fans and for the Pirates themselves, just like years and years of, as Josh Harrison put it, it felt like years of pent up rage coming out.
It was. And you're right. It's similar to that, but it's different in that it's on my list also. How could it not be? 2013, that was a crazy night. Yours was 51-3. This was a tightly pitched game until Johnny Cueto dropped the ball and then Russell Martin hit the home run.
And ultimately, it was one of the greatest moments in Bucco history.
Well, the standing room only crowd trying to get under Johnny Cueto's skin, and they might be.
I get goosebumps, Bob.
It's amazing.
That ball's hit well to left center field. Back toward the track.
Listen to that crowd.
That ball is gone. Russell Martin. 2-0 Pittsburgh.
That was
incredible. Have goosebumps. I'm
every
not lying.
Every time I hear that same thing. But it was a little different in that it was no one expected, 11, if they had won 11-0, to me, it would not have been as good as it was because of this crowd. This
right.
crowd got into it, and they knew that every pitch was going to be a tough one and a tightly pitched game, and it was. And they had a lot to do with Johnny Cueto surrendering
I
the pitch.
I believe that.
The very next pitch. How about that?
I still am astounded by the events of that night.
So
Andrew McCutchen's mom, Petrina, singing the anthem. It was a blackout, and the crowd. I remember John Wehner telling me he was at the game. And he said the corridors were empty for almost the whole game because everybody just wanted to stand and cheer the whole time and jeer Cueto. So nobody left to go anywhere. And it started like as soon as the doors opened.
It was a race to get to, especially out in the tundra, rotunda out there. They were trying to get a position to watch.
Yeah. Russell Martin said he never felt
running up there.
Yes. Never felt anything like it in his life. Like he couldn't feel his feet on the ground. And that was for pregame warmups. I want to hear that again, Bob. I legitimately have goosebumps right now. And it's now the sad thing is it's now a fan base that's starving like that again.
Right.
Yeah. When you think about it, it was a wild card game. So give us a breadcrumb. We're starving here. That's when he dropped the ball.
You get Ernie Johnson, TBS.
Johnny Cueto's skin, and they might be. That ball's hit well to left center field. Back toward the track, and that ball is gone.
Oh, my God, Bob.
2-0 Pittsburgh.
All in one sequence, and it started because the crowd. The crowd was the so-called 12th man there, going up, doing what it had to do, and you can tell that he was rattled, and the rattled had to do with the next pitch.
Great night. Can we just listen to that the rest of the day? Here's what Russell Martin told me. I did a five-year anniversary on that game. He said, I remember before the game running out to the bullpen feeling so light on my feet because of the energy. It wasn't really loud at that point, but there was something about the energy in the place. And then, of course, we had Cueto dropping the ball. And here's what Martin said about that. You ready, Bob? This was Russell Martin saying it was a funny moment. They were chanting his name in rhythm, and Cueto, even when he's competing, he'll smile. He kind of smiled when he dropped the ball, and I thought it was funny too, and I turned away, and it kind of loosened me up, Russell Martin said. Then he pulled one over the middle, and I thought I got jammed, so I put my head down because I was pissed off. I didn't get it. But the scream, I think they yelled the ball out of there for me. I don't know if there's science behind that or what, vibrations or something, but it kept going and going. Bob, I just want to cry now. Don't
See,
you?
We would want to have that like every other year, just a chance at something crazy, wild card. People would show up the same way, and it would be the same hunger, without a doubt. I don't think there's any question about that. I think it's a big baseball town, and if you give them something to cheer for, they will.
And then Neil Walker said, I remember Jason Grilley throwing the final pitch, and I could see out of the corner of my eye when the ball got about halfway to me, I could see him fist pumping. It's a moment I won't forget. I interviewed Neil about that when he was with the Yankees because the Steelers were in Tampa, and I went over to talk to the baseball players because the Yankees were also in Tampa, and it was him and McCutchen on the Yankees together, Bob. Remember that?
Well, yeah, I mean, at the time, I thought we'd never see Andrew McCutchen. I said, okay, he's making his rounds. He's going to go, but never come back in Pittsburgh, and he has. And in a weird way, he's been their best player at year six of a rebuild. That shouldn't be the case.
Listen to this, Bob, and I'll let this one go because this is, I know Super Bowl's number one for you. This is number one for me, the most exhilarating game.
You said no order. I would just give you
No, okay. But I thought you said it was, did you say it was number one for you, Limits, I thought? The Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl 43. But the wild card is like a 1A, 1B type of situation.
Maybe because I experienced it and talked to all these people over the years about it. This was McCutchen, Bob. 5 years later in a Yankees uniform, clean shaven, totally clean shaven, sitting at his locker. I said, what do you remember about the crowd chanting MVP when you came up? He said, there are some moments where you feel like you're a part of this whole journey and the fans are right there with you and they're part of it too and you're all together. That's how I felt in that moment. Me and the fans were all one. And he remembered his mom singing the national anthem. He said, some things are bigger than baseball. To see her there and for her to use her God-given talent, I've been around it my whole life. So for other people in that moment to experience it, you know they're always proud of you, your parents. And in that moment, I was proud of her. I'll never forget that.
No.
Her up there singing. What a moment.
It was, and it kind of set the stage for what was going to be a big, big night.
All right, Limits. We have Super Bowl 43. We have the wild card. Give us another one.
Penguins winning the Stanley Cup Final in 2009 in Detroit.
Absolutely. Game That's seven. One of mine. Is that one of yours, Bob?
If I had to make five, you would think it would be, but to me it was the game six that preceded that one.
Holy horse follicles.
The Fleury save, I just can't get out of my
mind. Yeah, the Fleury save was terrific. I mean, and don't get me wrong, two Max Talbot goals, that was highlight. We were there for that one too. In fact, my whole family was. We went to Detroit, but only after a game six win. And the reason I put that one, you know, in the same category for me is because the Penguins had lost to Detroit the previous year, and it wasn't really that close.
Yeah.
Detroit
yeah.
was, and I'm thinking to myself, they got to go through this whole situation again. Now they're down 3-2 at home. They're just like the previous year, they're going to end up losing it on home ice. And yet they came up with this unbelievable effort, which was capped by a third-line goal of Cook and Stahl, and I believe it was a shorthanded goal that changed the entire complexion of the game.
And Tyler Kennedy was in on that.
Tyler Kennedy. So that line, Tyler Kennedy, Jordan Stahl, Matt Cook, all had a role in why they even got to a Game 7.
I like that choice.
And I remember the crowd. The crowd was just as passionate that night.
The crowd... The lights were off before the game. Fleury had been removed from the previous game because
right.
the Red Wings blew him off the ice.
And everyone thought this was it again. We're going to go through the same.
And they chanted in the dark before the game, Fleury.
Fleury right. Fleury,
yes.
Same kind of situation as the wild card game.
That's a good choice, Bob, and a very interesting one, and I commend you for it.
Thank you, Joe.
And it's your turn to pick another one.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So this may be... I was thinking about this one, but I'm not so sure I should put it up there this high. And I don't know if I'm wrong or right. My thought was I was going to do 13-9.
Oh, my God. I forgot about 13-9.
I did, too.
Oh, my God. Of course that's there, Bob.
But the only reason I didn't, because I still had some, you know, Steeler, Penguin
well, I know,
championships and all those. But 13-9 came out of nowhere. What it meant to the future of West Virginia football... And specifically their head coach, Rich Rodriguez, how it changed everything.
No,
28-point underdogs, win a game, spoil an entire West Virginia, you know, they're thinking national championships and everything else.
Without a doubt, that's in the five most exhilarating, and I commend you for that. Unfortunately, we only have five, if you're going to do a top five.
Well, that's why I didn't want to put that one in there.
I have to put that one in there. I have to. Limits, are you with me?
See, I did not originally have it in mind, and I even had some honorable mentions, and I kind of kept it Pirates, Penguins, Steelers, but yes, 13-9 should be on that list.
It has to be.
It's five, but it's on there.
Well, okay. So we have Super Bowl against the Cardinals. We have the Pirates-Reds wild card game. We have either game six or seven against the Red Wings. I mean, my God, all the Penguins did was win the cup. And then we have all kinds of other choices, other cup-winning games, two of them, another Super Bowl against the Seahawks. But I'll tell you this much. My next choice is the AFC title game against the Ravens with Troy's interception.
Right. That's a big one. It's on my list also.
So what do we do with this, Bob? Here's what I'm going to do.
Some cities can't have five. They don't remember five.
I know.
We can go 12. Yeah, didn't even make my list, Bob.
Holy
I'll tell you
horse
another
follicles.
One, since we're just throwing out games, can we do...
What about Caps Game 6, where Benino?
How about
Game 7 in 2017 in Washington, where Marc-Andre Fleury denies Alex Ovechkin.
How about Game 7 in 2009 where Marc-Andre Fleury denies Alex Ovechkin?
How about Chris Kunitz double overtime against Ottawa?
How about Chris Kunitz double overtime against Ottawa?
That was my number four.
Right. That's a good one. And
wait,
and that
so you, give any, me your top five limits. That can't be in your top five.
Probably shouldn't. My top five was Super Bowl 43-1, 2013 wild card game.
Yeah.
Penguins win Stanley Cup final in 09 in Detroit. And
yeah.
His third. Kunitz scores in double overtime to beat the Ottawa Senators in Game 7 Eastern Conference Finals. And then fifth, it was an oversight for me. I would now put AFC champ. I would now put.
Did anyone mention
AFC
Super Bowl 40?
Game.
Just because of Jerome Bettis?
Okay.
No, I kept Super Bowl 40
So limits, you're leaving out. You did put the Polamalu game on there?
I'm going to put it five now instead of Stanley. I had Penguins win the cup against Nashville in 17 on my original list.
And Penguins win the cup against San Jose. You're leaving that out. You're leaving out Super Bowl 40 against the Seahawks, the Jerome game. And I'm not blaming
you. Who did you leave out?
Well, I'll tell you who I left out. You left out 13-9.
Yes.
Mine are Super Bowl 43, 13-9, Pirates wild card game, AFC title game, and Game 7 against the Wings.
I mean, it's a good list. We all have good
lists. What's yours, Bob? Because left some off, too.
I left a lot off, but I went with my number one was Super Bowl 43.
Right.
Number two was a wild card game.
Yep.
I would put Game 6 of that win against Detroit ahead of Game 7, even though Game 7, of course, clinched it, but you wouldn't have the Game 7
I hear you on that.
Six.
I like that choice, and I respect it greatly.
And then, how many is that, three?
Yeah.
And then I put
13-9?
No, that's fourth. That's the one coming up fourth, right? And then I put the Game 7, 2017, when they had to beat Washington, and they did.
That's a great one.
So, I mean, there's so many that you can leave out.
Yeah,
we're
leaving off championships, all of us are. We all left off the Seahawks and
right, I mean, that was a great experience. It wasn't the greatest of games for entertainment value, but... Yeah.
Limits, you should...
I'll tell you another one I'll throw on, as it won't make the list, but this one still, to me, is one of my favorite games. It was the perfect hit on Antonio Brown and how that whole thing changed and the penalties that Cincinnati got suckered into because
that
of Joey
was amazing.
Porter Sr.
I'll tell you another one for me is Pitt-Wake Forest in the bowl game where Kenny Pickett did the fake slide.
How about beating Clemson and Clemson?
Oh my God! Is that a great pick?
So what was that, 42-39 or whatever that was?
Holy bird follicles!
Clemson, that was a great game.
How about Pitt basketball beating UConn the night that DeJuan Blair flipped the beat?
The beat. That was wild. That game. Yeah, that was. You can go back to Madison Square
Garden. What about
the
first game? I mean, there's so much. There's the opening of all of our playing venues,
right?
And everything that happened there. I mean, it's almost too much. We've been lucky. For this,
absolutely.
Even though it ain't great now, we've been lucky.
That's why I say it's cyclical, and we're in a time right now where it's going the opposite direction for a time being. We'll see.
Well, speaking of the opposite direction, next up we're going to do the five most heartbreaking moments of this quarter century of Pittsburgh sports.